everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
Vegas has set the over-under for number of times teams beating Astros this season at 83.5. It appears, national panel, this is not going away. Let's go.
Oh, no. Maybe 1 year, then it'll go away.
Just
never
a
hear
year?
It again after this year. Yeah.
We'll get to that in a second. Start with the NFL news of the day. Drew Brees coming back to the Saints. Let's run this again. Don't need to say any more. Frank Isoli will start us off. What does this mean? How open is New Orleans' window? What do they need to get Brees to get over the hump that has them seeing incomprehensible playoff losses each of the last 3 years and beyond?
He almost looks like touchdown Jesus at Notre Dame. Why is he coming back? He's going to the Hall of Fame. He's got a ton of money. He's got every record. He's going into the Hall of Fame, like I said. He's coming back to try to win a Super Bowl. I thought, incorrectly, they were the best team last year in the NFC. They lost another home playoff game. So they've had some major disappointments in the playoffs. But he's coming back for the right reasons, because he wants to win one more time.
Thank you for reminding me that you had it wrong last year. Okay. To answer the question, though, that was also asked, what do the Saints need to get him to get over the hump? Kevin Blackstone, the floor is yours.
I don't know they have to get him that much. I mean, Frank's on to something. That was a 13-3 team last year. It's not like Drew Brees is some decrepit 42-year-old quarterback up in New England with no weapons to throw to, with an 86% quarterback rating. He is still on top of his game. He's got Michael Thomas. He's got Alvin Kamara to hand the ball off to. He did the absolute right thing. What do they need to get him more of? Maybe just some better luck. I mean, last year it just so happened that a bunch of other teams in the NFC were extremely good too, and they lost that crazy game in the playoffs. So I just think they need to keep him healthy, maybe not have him throw quite as much, and just roll
all
on
right.
from there.
Go to the luck store, all right? Israel Gutierrez, how about you?
I mean, I'm sure my argument here, and maybe this is Drew Brees' argument, is just sample size. Like, you know, last year over the course of the season, yeah, great season. His accuracy was still there. You know, obviously he missed some time with the thumb. The season before that, great season. It just happens to be those darn playoff games, and they're not blowouts. You know, they're reasonably close games there, right? The Minnesota Miracle. And so I do think if you look at him, what do you need to get more for him? I would say maybe a little rest. If you assume he's not going to have an injury now, and you have more of Taysom Hill, can use him more and sort of prepare him for his tenure as the eventual Saints starting quarterback. But I don't think in terms of pieces, I don't think you look at the Saints and say, hey, they're missing this giant void in any position.
Okay, Clint Yates.
Tony, I got to believe luck is a factor as well. They didn't just lose those last three playoff games at home. They lost them on the last play each time. That is not something that happens with any sort of regularity in the NFL. But overall, I'm a little concerned about what the Saints' plan is here, because if he's coming back, this is not trending in the right direction in terms of how their seasons are ending. And are you sure that he's only going to be one season? Bridgewater is obviously out of the equation now, and do you really want Taysom Hill? I'm very concerned as to what this looks like for two seasons, not just...
Well, let's have that question, all right? Because there's only a certain amount of money you can spend, and now everyone is of the opinion Teddy Bridgewater is gone, right? You can't spend whatever the money is going to be on Drew Brees. And also...
25 or 30 million. Some reports were that Teddy Bridgewater was going to come in. But what do you think this means for Bridgewater? And what do you think this means for Taysom Hill? Frank Isola, first to you.
Well, I think it's great for Teddy Bridgewater's agent and Teddy Bridgewater, that's for sure. Here's a guy, think about it. For him, staying in New Orleans would be an option, but, you know, they have to figure out the right kind of contract. But there's a lot of teams that he can go to. We don't know. New England may need a quarterback. The Colts are another team. So Teddy Bridgewater right now is in a terrific position. But if I'm the Saints, I got to try to figure out a way to keep him because that, to me, is a successor to Drew Brees.
You believe Bridgewater is the successor, not Taysom Hill. And do you believe it's possible they can keep Bridgewater? Maybe I spoke too soon. You think it's
going to be complicated.
Kevin Blackstone, how about you?
It'll be complicated, but they need to talk to him about that. They need to talk to him about Steve Young's career in San Francisco, where he waited and waited and waited behind Montana, and then finally at age 30, basically gets the starting job, and look where that took San Francisco and took his career. Taysom Hill, you got no choice. You either got to go out and prove yourself, or you just stay right there and continue to be the Swiss Army knife that you've become, because you don't have the resume that Teddy Bridgewater does. I mean, remember, that guy was a Pro Bowl quarterback.
This is an interesting argument you're making here, because everything we've heard from Sean Payton, correct me if I'm wrong, Israel Gutierrez, is how much he's in love with Taysom Hill, potential future franchise quarterback here.
Yeah, the one thing that Taysom Hill has apparently is the backing of the New Orleans Saints and the ones who decide on playing time. And it appears they're going to go with this transition from Drew Brees to Hill and see if, you know, they can throw their hat in the Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray mobile quarterback ring and see if they can actually do something with that. I think that's intriguing. But if you're looking at the younger prospect, the one who showed that he can do what essentially Drew Brees did over the course of five games while he was in there for him. I think it's questionable, but I think that seems to be the direction.
For me, it's not just about the five-game stretch he had this season. He was a franchise guy before this with Minnesota, and that went awry due to injury. I don't think it's that ridiculous for another team to want to take a shot on him as their main dude in terms of the quarterback play. Yeah,
we've been horned. We'll move on. The Houston Astros scandal.
Possibly not going away. Roll tape!
I feel like every single guy over there needs a beating. You know, it's wrong. They're messing with people's careers.
That's Nick Markakis saying Astros players need a beating. Related story, Vegas over under 83.5 beanings this year for Astros batters. Clinton, not sure ethically if you want to get in on that action, but how big of a problem does baseball have now when you think about hearing players say retribution?
I think they have a huge problem on their hands. Part of the reason why the Commissioner Manfred didn't want to take a gamble fighting against the Astros, you know, against the association in terms of suspending players is because you assumed that the union was going to all be in lockstep about this. Well, now with players calling each other out directly and by name, Mike Trout of all people is talking about this. Half of you people don't even know the sound of his voice. If that's happening, you have a real issue on your hands because we cannot have players getting beaned every single day of the week. He's going to end up punishing guys more for beaning Astros players than he is for the Astros cheating themselves, and that is a terrible look from the commissioner's office.
Israel Gutierrez?
Yeah, you can't say it was a player-driven operation and then not offer any punishment to these players and then expect the other guys in baseball to say, okay, that's fine. Well, what do you do in baseball? You self-punish, right? And that's what they're going to try to do. It is a huge mess. There is, and I know I understand what Clinton's talking about, and you know, it's a messy situation. It probably would have been overturned if they got penalized, these players, etc. Then penalize them by taking away the trophy, that piece of metal. Go get that thing. Go televise you walking it out of their facility. Never celebrate them as champions again. Embarrass them. That's the only way the other players will probably be satisfied.
Do you believe that's still in play? Do you believe there's a world where there's a best interest of the game clause here?
Best interest in baseball, yep.
Okay, how about you, Kevin Blackstone?
I believe that's something that can be revisited.
You agree with that? Best interest of the game?
Well, in the best interest of baseball, what Manfred needs to do now is take a look in the mirror and say, you know what? I messed this up. Now I've got to do something more. And what he needs to do more is he needs to hammer the Astros players who were involved in this somehow, some way, because the players are not perceiving that he did enough, and therefore they're going to try and police the game themselves. And as Clinton said, you cannot have every game every week involving an Astros player starting out or finishing with a bunch of bean balls that are going to start a bunch of brawls. That is not the baseball that anybody wants to watch for the entire season.
Right, guys.
The commissioner misread this all the way because the players want to see these other players punished. If I'm him, give every player involved a 10-game suspension. If some of them have to overlap, so be it. They can go through an entire season where they don't really have their core players playing together. But we know how it works. Baseball, like hockey, the players police themselves. So you can send out a memo in February, say we're going to protect the players, but there'll be a Friday night game in May when you least expect it in the sixth inning, and someone's going to get thrown at. And remember this too, Tony, they don't come to Yankee Stadium until September, and it'll still be fresh on everyone's mind up in the Bronx all the way in September.
But even then, you know, it's when players get hit by a pitch, and it's not on purpose. What, I mean, there's still question about all that. Israel
right,
Gutierrez,
right.
Last word after the horn.
Yeah, to me, commissioners get remembered for bold moves, for setting precedents, not for handling things the same way a PR firm would and tiptoeing around it. This is a terrible move from Manfred, and he's going to learn from it, hopefully, and maybe make some changes.
We move on, and now we talk about Daytona. A miracle, miracle, that doctors say Ryan Newman's injuries are not life-threatening. The similarities to Dale Earnhardt's crash 19 years ago were there. Only this time, a third impact right into the driver's side window and fire, and Newman was airborne. Black screens were brought out to shield view, and pit media was sent away. Somehow, thankfully, NASCAR avoids its gravest tragedy, and we all breathe. Meanwhile, Denny Hamlin's win and celebration when they didn't know the severity of Newman's condition happened. Apologies all around for that. Hamlin says it's not anybody's fault. But fans and viewers still saw the confetti and donuts while all concerns were with Newman. Kevin Blackstone, I know you were watching this live. You were tweeting about it as well. How do you consider it all for NASCAR?
Well, it's a very fortunate day. Obviously, this could have been a much darker tragedy than the accident turned out to be. You know, last night I just wanted more information. I was riveted to the television until the broadcast went off, and then I went to NASCAR radio on Sirius XM and listened, waiting for more and more information. I heard the apology come from Joe Gibbs. I heard apologies come from others for what were celebrations going on while on the other screen we're looking at this horrific accident. I'll just say this. People forget, speedways are gigantic. You're talking about 2.5 miles around, and it's a long ways from something happening in one place and happening in another. And so I somehow excuse that, but just be fortunate, all of us and Newman's family, that it wasn't any worse than what it
looked. Frank Isola?
No chance he's celebrating like that if he has any idea how horrific that accident really was. It was really a standalone event on Monday because, remember, you had the rain on Sunday, postponed it until Monday's event. And it kind of reminded me when you're at a football game and you see someone get a serious injury and the players are kind of standing around, then they wheel the player off. And then the players have to go back and play. It's always kind of this awkward thing of, well, shouldn't we be, should we even continue playing? This happened at the end of the race, but I'm not going to get on Denny Hamlin for celebrating. I don't think he had any idea, to Kevin's point, of what really went on.
Yates?
Yeah, neither am I. And that's what the unfortunate part of motorsports are, is that this, quite frankly, is half of the thrill for people who tune into races, that they want to see some level of danger. But when that danger crosses over into something that looks like it's taken a life, everybody there is set aback. And when you watch this live and you talk to people who were there, they basically all just assumed that the worst had happened. Mm-hmm. And that is ultimately what the big takeaway is here, is that he is not gone. He is still with us. And that is something we should be talking
Israel
about.
Israel Gutierrez.
Yeah, Frank, and to your point about the football injuries, and I think that affects me as a viewer more so than I even feel like it affects the players. They have that distraction of continuing to play. We have to sit at home and wonder what's the latest. Is this player paralyzed or something like that? And in this case, you're talking about a potential life being lost. It has to affect the viewers immensely, but I don't think there's a lot to apologize for or anything to apologize for, really. It was just an odd strain.
The psychology of it all plays into, of course, the competitors, the racers in this case, but also in the reporters who cover the game and cover the race. And the viewers as well. We're all in the same boat there, wondering, praying, thinking. And that hour when we didn't have the information was just paralyzing yesterday. But now we know it's not life-threatening, and we thank God for that. We'll be back. Fire Zone next.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
The Bengals have their process, and I have mine. Who said it? Who said it?
Joel Embiid.
Monsieur Burrow.
Joe Burrow is right. This Bengals Burrow match. Burrow to the Fort Worth Star-Telegram talking about how he has leverage
Would you like to go where the number one draft pick is?
I'd like to play football. So whoever, you know, whoever takes me, I'm a ball player. I'm going to play.
Clint Yates, buy or sell?
I'm going to sell this. Not quite sure the quality LSU education there and the word leverage and what he means. But overall, Bengals, how do you let this happen at this stage? You've got the Ohio kid. Everybody was talking about it. You cannot let this get bungled. But then again, that's why you're the franchise.
Gutierrez.
I mean, who knows the Bengals better than an Ohio kid? And maybe he wants to stay away from there. But that last comment there, he said, I'm a ball player. Whoever picks me, I'll play. So it feels like he's okay with it. But I think he's just letting the world know, hey, maybe I won't be too happy if I have to.
Yeah, didn't he just give away the leverage he said he had in his famed process here? Kevin Blackstone, when he said, I'm a ball player, I'll play.
Exactly. Now, if he's not going to play, that takes a balls player. You have to be like Bo Jackson and refuse to, or Eli Manning and threaten to sit out or have a baseball career to lean back on. I don't think he has any of those, so we'll see.
I thought you were going another way with that line, but I follow you now. And how about you, Isola?
Brilliant.
I think he has leverage. John Elway had leverage. Eli Manning had leverage. Kyle Murray last year had leverage. And remember this. The Bengals haven't won a playoff game since 1990, so he might be thinking, do I really want to go to this team? My future might be headed right down the toilet, so I understand.
I love the way Frank said that. Remember this, the Bengals haven't won a playoff game. I don't think Cincinnati's forgotten that, Frank. We'll move on. Let's go. Fire Cell 2, we can reimagine the next dynasty. Who said that?
Pat Riley.
Joe Lacob said it about his Warriors. Israel, buy or sell the next dynasty being within reach for the Warriors.
I mean, isn't there something in between dynasty and terrible? Like, can't they just say, hey, we're back and we're contending for a championship again? I mean, it's good enough, right? The Miami Heat did it. They thought they had a dynasty with LeBron James, and obviously he left, and now they're back to relevance, and that's good enough.
Kevin Blackstone.
If we could change it to short-term prominence, then I would buy it. You know, maybe Andrew Wiggins isn't the enigma that he's turning out to be. And maybe they can be lucky like the Spurs. Remember, David Robinson got hurt that year. They had a bad season. They got the number one pick. It turned out to be Tim Duncan. And then
that's in play. But do you think short-term prominence sells tickets? Do you think that increases TV ratings? We've got short-term prominence. Ratings are down 66% locally. That is incredible. Frank Isola, how about you?
I'm sure Bob Myers, the GM, and Steve Kerr, the head coach, love hearing this from the same guy that said we were light years ahead of everyone in the NBA. By the way, before you showed up, they had Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. They're going to be a very good team again. Dynasty? Not so sure.
Yeah, not even close to dynasty, and that's okay. Reminder, they changed basketball completely for the better for the past five seasons. You got to see the only unanimous MVP in the history of the league. Why are you complaining about this? If they get back to just reasonably watchable, that's an improvement. I don't need a dynasty.
Reasonably watchable. Short-term prominence. You guys really are great. You're nailing marketing. You're really nailing marketing. You know what the people want to hear. We'll move on. Buy or sell three. The way North Carolina has lost games this season. I mean, three of the last four coming in the final seconds. They're 10-16 overall. Roy Williams said yesterday after the loss, you either compete your butt off or you curl up and start crying. This was after the latest loss of the last seconds, and they blew a 15-point lead in Notre Dame. KB, compete your butt off or curl up and start crying? What you got for UNC right now?
He may want to curl up and start crying because this season is just not happening. You get Cole Anthony back and you still can't win games. You know what? He's just going to have to go back and get some more of those one-and-done guys like Kobe White, who he just had, and get back to winning 30 games a year. Not happening now.
They just won 3 years ago. They'll be fine. This is just a bad year, an aberration. Just chalk it up to an awful Carolina year. They'll be back pretty quickly.
3 years is a lifetime in college basketball, Frank. But overall, it doesn't just have to be curl up and cry or go fight. You can walk off with dignity. I told you guys that a couple weeks ago. This for the sake of Roy Williams' legacy. I don't want to see him struggle like this. He's not having fun.
Whoa, okay. Israel Gutierrez, how about you?
Yeah, but Carolina has been great the entirety of my lifetime, even before Roy Williams, and so they will recover from this. Practically all he has to say to all the recruits is, look, I got five starting positions available for you. Come on down. It's North Carolina. It's not going to last.
It's not hard to recruit at North Carolina, I don't think. Clinton, you do know they won the title 3 years ago, right? I mean, this is not like the game.
Again, how long ago was that? Just look at Roy's face.
Three years ago.
A good time.
How long ago was three years ago? Three years ago. Okay, let's go. We'll finish this conversation. Whoa, Blackstone, where are you going? Where are you going, Blackstone? Come back to us. Come back to us. Blackstone and Gates, showdown next. Uh-oh, pilot error. Good recovery, KB.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Yates and Stone and Showdown, and how convenient Washington, D.C. makes the show. Alex Ovechkin has gone 5 straight games without a goal. The chase for 700 has slowed to a slog. He's stuck at 698. Yates, something or nothing for Ovechkin?
This is nothing to me, but overall it's because the Caps are doing just fine. They're 10-10 in their last 20. I know they've lost 4 in a row, but they're still at the top. I'm fine with that.
10-10? That sounds like 500 to me. Not only can Ovi not score, but they don't have a goaltender who can keep a puck from going into the net. I am ringing the alarm. This is me as a DC fan, I guess.
Ringing the alarm. Take a mute for you. I don't think they've lost 4 in a row. I think they're 1-4 in their last 5. Point. Yates will move on. Giannis. He has 4 brothers. 2 are in the NBA with the Bucks and Lakers. 1 is a high school senior. There's another one who maybe you could have almost a full 5-man at the Kumpo team. But this quote that he gave USA Today, he'd love to all play together, Milwaukee or LA or whatever. Whatever, KB?
Whatever, that's tampering. Where's the commissioner to get in there? He's trying to get all of his brothers together. If it's not tampering, it's an assault on the talents of the one player.
He's yada 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 over the best part. If this guy's going to go to L.A., we need to know the plan right now. Milwaukee Bucks fans right now are destroying themselves over this, although it would be a lot of fun. This is why we like the NBA.
This is an incredible, incredible. Clinton Yates, take the FaceTime. The team answered the compo. That's a team I can get behind. 30 seconds of FaceTime.
If there's one thing I like to do more than any during the summer, it's flip on the radio and listen to a baseball game. Now, for one franchise in the league, that opportunity is going away. The Oakland Athletics are now going to an all-streaming situation, which isn't losing anybody their jobs. The 2 guys that have been there for a while are still going to do it. But think about that. At this day and age, you can't just go to a radio and turn it on in the bay to hear your favorite team. There is a certain technological jump for older people to get to hear things on their phones. Make this easy, A's. Come on.
Clinton Yates, winner. Thanks a lot, Clinton. All right, that's going to do it, folks.
Radio app.
On behalf of all of us, we say we're on a 23-and-a-half-hour break. Goodbye to all, especially Joe Carter's sister. See you tomorrow.